Our scripture comes from Psalm 86, beginning with verse 1. Hear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am devoted to you. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call on you. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. In the day of my trouble, I will call to you, for you will answer me. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, hello, Christ Church, and all of our friends joining us today. I'm so glad you're with us for online worship. If you're on Facebook or the website, say hello to other friends in the comment section, the chat. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. If you want to follow along with my outline, you can on the website or the Christ Church app. Well, this week we're continuing our series, Transformed Life. I don't know about you, but I need one, a transformed life. My life is not completely put together. I stumble and fall. I have cracks and flaws. I get dry. I get thirsty. And I need help. And I'm glad to know that God wants to help me. Last week, we talked about priming the pump. Our steps of commitment prime the pump in our relationship with God. God has this living water for us. It's available. It's available in abundance. But we have to prepare for it. We have to take steps in getting ready for it, like priming the pump. Remember those old-fashioned water pumps? First, you poured in some water in it, you primed it, and then as you pumped, eventually the fresh water flowed. Our steps of commitment prime the pump in our relationship with God. We take the steps to seek Him, to pursue God. As we prime the pump, that living water begins to flow. Today, it's all about drawing water. Once the pump is primed and water begins to flow, we want to see it flow freely. We want to see this living water flow in abundance in our spiritual lives. How does it happen? A key means of drawing forth this living water is prayer. Post prayer in the chat. Prayer increases and replenishes our spirits. Prayer connects us with the one who nourishes and refreshes our souls. Through prayer, we can enter into God's presence and express our true hearts to God and discover the insights and the answers we seek. But sometimes we need perspective. Sometimes we need clear vision. Sometimes we need to be reminded of the many facets of prayer. I love the book of Psalms because the prayers in the book of Psalms are so real. I shared in a small group this past week how I used to think there were some things that weren't appropriate to share with God in prayer because they were unchristian. Things like my anger, frustration, disappointment, bitterness. Then I discovered the book of Psalms, and I found that it was all there. These giants of faith, like David and others, were often angry and despondent, frustrated. That's when I realized that, hey, God wants us to be honest and transparent with Him in prayer. He can take it. In searching for a scripture text for today, I started thumbing through the book of Psalms, scanning the first few lines of all 150 of those prayers. What a rich experience. The full gamut of emotions are there. Whatever you're feeling, whether you're on the mountaintop or in the valley or somewhere in between, as you thumb through, you can find a psalm that connects. Our text for today, Psalm 86, 1 through 7, is a prayer of David, a prayer for help in the midst of trouble. Have you ever had trouble? These 150 prayers are helpful in the midst of any trouble or great need. Because I don't know about you, but often my mental, emotional, spiritual capacity freezes up. I become spiritually paralyzed. I don't know what to pray. But if I can remember to thumb through the book of Psalms, these heartfelt prayers can often help me to break through the logjam of what I'm feeling and to express my heart to God. Oh Lord, help me, help us to pray. Today, with the book of Psalms being one of the resources available to us, I want to focus on our experience in prayer. If we want God's living water to flow through us and all around us, we get living water flowing best through a good connection with God in prayer. How does that happen? Well, here are some principles that help us in prayer, in the drawing forth of this living water from God. First, prayer is something that we do confessionally. We have to be open and honest with God. We have to own our shortcomings and sins. We also have to trust in God's mercy and grace. It's God's forgiveness and grace that enable us to be real. So David prays in Psalm 86:1, "Hear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy." How many of us can relate to that? I am poor and needy. That's an honest prayer. I usually try to start my prayer time focusing on praising God, like many Psalms do, but then at some point I try to have a time of honest confession before God to share how I'm feeling. Sometimes I know that I've sinned, that I've made a mistake. I need to deal with it. I need to get it out on the table with God so that I can receive His forgiveness. And the pure living water can flow. You see, when you or I sin, there are three options of how we can deal with it. One, we can repress it. We can just push it down into the recesses of our mind. It's a lot like pushing an exercise ball down in the water. The further down you push it, the higher it's going to come out of the water when it finally gets released. Repressed things always find some expression later on. Some people choose to express their sins. We say, "I know I missed the mark, I get it, but I'm just going to express myself anyhow. I have this free will, and this is how I'm going to use it. And who are you or anyone else to tell me otherwise?" And when that happens, not only do we often end up hurting ourselves, but we end up hurting other people often too. Sometimes we have to go down a path for a while and experience the results of it before we decide, you know, maybe that's not the best path for me after all. Finding our way is not always easy. It's helpful if we have close, trusted friends who love us, who care for us, and extend grace and truth in trying to support us in our journey. That's what can happen in being connected with loving Christ followers. Yes, sometimes we do choose to express our sins, our shortcomings, but not without consequences, struggles, and pain. We can repress sin. We can express sin. The best way to deal with our sin is to confess it to God. We own our sin and we ask God for forgiveness. That's one reason we should pray. It's a way of being cleansed of our sin. 1 John 1:9 is that great promise of forgiveness If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. When we are open and honest before God, He is gracious and compassionate and forgiving, and that pure living water of His Spirit is free to flow. So, we pray confessionally, but we also pray conversationally. God is our friend. Post friend in the chat. Jesus is alive. He is real. He is the best friend we can have. I love that passage in John 20 when Mary went to the garden tomb after Jesus' resurrection. He appeared, and at first, remember, she didn't recognize Him. She thought He was the gardener. John 20, 16 reads, Jesus said to her, Mary. He called her by name, and when He called her name, she recognized Him. There is no greater joy than having the best companion imaginable and talking every day. The old hymn says, He walks with me and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. Are you there yet? Do you think of God as your Heavenly Father and Jesus as your friend? We can talk with them every day in prayer. It doesn't have to be complicated. Remember the Lord's Prayer, simple but powerful. It's that everyday conversation with God that enables the living water to flow. A third principle, we pray consistently. When we begin praying consistently, regularly, our relationship with God grows deeper. Remember Daniel in the Old Testament? He got down on his knees 3 times a day in prayer. And Paul in the New Testament says, pray continually. As we spend more time in everyday prayer conversation with God, we get to know Him, and we become more aware of His will for our lives. Prayer changes things, and often the change begins within us. When we get in the habit of praying consistently, in time we become better stewards of all that God has given us. We become more generous with our gifts. We treat people differently, our family members, neighbors, friends, even our enemies. When God's life-giving water is flowing through our lives, His peace, love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control become more frequent. We're better able to follow Jesus, even when He encourages us to love our enemies and those who oppose us. During His Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:44, Jesus said, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Wow! That doesn't happen without living water flowing in our lives. So we need that ongoing, consistent, conversational prayer with God. Another principle for helping God's living water to flow freely in our lives, we pray confidently. Confidently. As we grow in our relationship with God through prayer, we grow in our confidence too. We learn about God through His Word. We have more experiences of His presence and power in prayer and in our daily lives, and our confidence, our faith grows. Listen to the growing confidence of David when he says in Psalm 86:5, "You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to You." That's the voice of experience. David is saying, "You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call on You, because I've experienced it myself." I don't know about you, I love to pray with prayer warriors. Have you ever known a prayer warrior? These are persons who are confident before the throne of God in prayer. They pray with boldness, and conviction. They are certain God answers prayer. Where do they get that confidence? It comes from their relationship with God. They've gotten to know Him through His Word, through prayer, through their own experiences. They've seen God answer prayer enough that they are confident that God is willing and able to do it again. And they pray like it. Elijah was confident in prayer. I love the story of Elijah in 1 Kings 18, when he, remember, called the people of Israel and the prophets of Baal up to Mount Carmel, and he said, "Let's find out whose God is the real God." Remember the contest they had? Elijah said, and the prophets of Baal, he said, "We're going to each sacrifice a bull, put it on the altar, and we're going to pray and see whose God is going to consume the offering with fire." The prophets of Baal went first, and they prayed from morning until late afternoon. Elijah taunted them, saying, "Shout louder. Perhaps your God is thinking, or maybe he's busy or traveling. Maybe he's asleep." And they whipped themselves up into quite a frenzy, but to no avail, no fire. When his turn came, Elijah called the people, called them to gather around him to watch as he built his altar. And then he had his offering and the wood watered down, not once, but three times. And then he prayed that the people of Israel would know who the true God was. And the fire of God fell, and it consumed the wood, the offering, the water, and the dust. That's the kind of confidence in prayer God wants us to have with Him, because we've gotten to know Him. We're familiar with what God can do, and we are bold enough to stand and pray a prayer of faith, even in the midst of our most difficult circumstances. Again, I love the great people of faith in our world. They stand with conviction upon the foundations of God's Word, and mountains are moved. I think of giants of faith like Billy Graham and Bill Bright, but also Mother Teresa and Martin Luther King Jr. In our day. What each of them accomplished through prayer, through the power of confident prayer, is remarkable. Well, one more principle in seeing the living water of God's Spirit flowing through our lives. We pray compliantly in accordance with God's will. Prayer is not about bending God's will to meet my will. Prayer is about bending my will to meet God's. We talked about this in the Hour That Changes the World series about prayer that we had last month. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, on the night before he died, Jesus prayed emphatically in Matthew 26, 39, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Jesus was being honestly transparent with God, just like we can be, but he was also committed to doing what God wanted over and against his personal feelings. We too need to pray compliantly. I remember in college one time asking God to help me when I hadn't done the studying that I knew I should have done. Praying like that is praying on pretty shaky ground. God can and sometimes does work miracles, but God often expects us to do what we can do. In my case, it was to study. When we are outside of God's known will in a situation, like acting in disregard or in disobedience to His Word, we are on shaky ground. We want to be on firm ground, not shaky ground with God. If there's an obvious unconfessed, undealt with sin in our lives, we are on shaky ground with God. We can pray, but the living water is not able to flow freely because we're out of compliance. On the other hand, when we are walking according to God's known will for our lives, for instance, if we've decided, I'm going to give generously of my time, my talent, my treasure to God's work in the world, then regardless of the circumstances around us, we know that we are on firm ground with God. Our foundation with God is firm, and the living water is free to flow. Well, we know we need God's living water, and prayer is a primary way of experiencing that living water of God's Spirit flowing mightily through our lives. May God stir our hearts to pray in ever-increasing ways. Amen? Let's pray about that. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, Almighty God, gracious Lord, we thank you for this image of life-giving, living water, your Spirit available to flow through our lives with ever-increasing power and strength. Lord, we thank you. There are steps we can take to increase the capacity of your Spirit in our lives. We can pray conversationally, transparently, confessing our sins, our shortcomings, and our true feelings. And as we pray consistently and confidently and compliantly in alignment with your will, we're on solid ground and are equipped to stand firm, whatever the storm. So, Lord, let your living water flow through us as we step out with you again in this power of prayer. It's in Jesus' name we've prayed, and everyone said, amen, amen. Hey, if you want to visit with me about the message, I'd love to talk with you. Just get a hold of me. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, man, we'd love to hear from you. We want to pray with you. We want to celebrate with you. Hey, thank you for your generosity. Your ongoing gifts are making a difference. They're helping us to care for and to reach new people for Jesus. Remember, you can go online using the app or the website anytime in your giving. Hey, be sure to take advantage of our discipleship opportunities. Find all the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember this, Jesus is the one who gives us this living water. Our prayer connection helps the living water to flow freely. So Lord, stir our hearts to pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
So here's a thought. If money doesn't grow on trees, why do banks have branches?
Okay. Our November 2nd, First Wednesday, is all about John 3:16 mission. John 3:16 has served homeless men, women, and children since 1952. They serve 330 meals per day and distribute as many as 7,000 food baskets annually. Cindy Webster, their volunteer coordinator, will share her incredible testimony. Look for a list of items to bring in the newsletter. First Wednesday, a meal, a mission, a message.
Come one, come all to our all-new Fall Family Festival event on Sunday, October 23rd from 12 to 2 p.m. Bring the whole family for an afternoon of fun, including inflatables, pie throwing, games, trunks, $1 candy apples, face painting, a cakewalk, and many other activities. Join us in the gym for a chili cheese hot dog or Frito pie meal for just $3 a person.
Discover CUMC is a chance to find out more about our church, its beliefs, history, and membership. On October 16th at 2 p.m., we'll share snacks and conversation about who our church is and where we are going. Pastor Bob and Chris Miracle will guide our time together as we discover CUMC. Sign up at the Connect Center.
You can find all this information and more on our website, cumctulsa.com.
Hi, it's Samaritan's Purse Christmas Shoebox Time at CUMC. There are shoeboxes, labels, girl and boy, and flyers with info on how to pack a shoebox on the table in the people place. Please, take what you need. Shipping costs for each box is $10 this year. Please place your check made out to Samaritan's Purse inside the box or boxes you make.
Yoo-hoo! Yoo-hoo! Here's my shoebox.
Oh, my. Look how generous you are.
I wanted the precious child to have a very, very wonderful Christmas.
Well, the boxes really should close tightly and be flat on top for shipping to the children.
Oh.
Have you considered getting another box and dividing what you're giving to two children?
You mean I would have the opportunity to bless two children instead of one? Why, that's a double blessing for me.
Indeed. And don't forget the ornament tree. Why not take a couple? Purchase the items, place them in the wire baskets in the people place, and come for some fun at the packing party November 10th at 6 p.m. in the gym to fill additional shoeboxes.
Well, I'll head to the tree and take a handful of ornaments, and I'll be there.
Well, thank you, Miss Sue.